Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to stay tuned and maybe even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you this afternoon. And let's go ahead and get opened started with a word of prayer here. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Bless the program. Help us to encourage people through the things we talk about. But most of all, help us to point people to Christ and lift up and glorify our Savior. And we just thank you for the opportunity. We just pray you bless now for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, number of things I want to touch on here today, and I'll just get right into a couple things here. But let me remind you, of course, the number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, I'd love to have you give us a call here today. But I wanted to touch on a couple of things certainly here. Certainly keep in mind the situation down in Chattanooga. And of course, if you're following the news here yesterday and today, this Islamic terror attack, even though this individual, Muhammad Yusuf Abdulaziz, no concept what could have motivated him, except that ISIS in a tweet claimed some credit with this. And there's some debate right now as to whether the tweet was sent out just before the attack started. At I think it was 10:34 a.m. the tweet was date or time stamped, and some people say, well, no, that was a time stamp Pacific time, not Eastern time, and so there's some debate over what the time stamp was on that. Some suggesting that they actually sent it out before or while the attack was going on, but this individual, if you've been following the news, has been to, I guess, some of the latest things coming out. I've been to Jordan and I want to say Yemen, not Yemen. He's from Kuwait originally. I think he also spent time in Syria, but there's some indication that last year he had spent some time over there. And it could be a case of somebody who's become radicalized, as the saying goes. But really, I hate the term radical Islam because it's fundamentalist Islam. That's exactly what it is. It's fundamentalist Islam, because the Quran says much about killing unbelievers. Let me just give you a few brief statements from the Quran. The Quran in Surah chapter 2, verse 191 says, "And slay them wherever ye find them." That's talking about those who are not Muslim. Such is the reward of disbelievers. Again, in Surah 2, verse 193, "And fight them until persecution is no more, and all religion is for Allah." And then again, in Surah 8, verse 39, "And fight them until persecution is no more, and all religion is for Allah." Again, it says that. Then it says, "If thou comest on them in war, deal with them so as to strike fear in them, or in those who are behind them, that happily they may remember." That's Quran, Surah 8, 57. And by the way, that's the basis for terrorism amongst the Islamic fundamentalists, right there, that very phrase. Deal with them so as to strike fear in those who are behind them. People say, how can somebody do this? How can somebody act this way? Well, they're doing what the Quran says, to strike fear in those who are behind them, meaning they shot these Marines, killed these Marines, and wounded this police officer in Chattanooga, and he killed people, but he was striking fear in the rest of us. And same thing with ISIS over in the Middle East. They post these pictures, these videos online of these gruesome ways that they come up with to kill people. And people say, oh, how can they do that? Well, it's to strike fear in those that are left behind, or those who are behind them. They're trying to strike fear in our hearts. They're trying to terrorize us. That's what terrorism is. And there's plenty of other verses there, of course, and I've just read a few here. Here's a few more. Slay idolaters, and by the way, the Quran defends an idolater as anybody who believes that Jesus is God in the flesh. Slay idolaters wherever you find them, besiege them, prepare for them each ambush. That's in Surah 9:5. In Surah 9, verse 14, it says, fight them, Allah will chastise them at your hands, and he will lay them low and give you victory over them. He continues, fight against such as those who have been given the scripture and believe not in Allah nor the last day, and forbid not which that which Allah hath forbidden by his messenger, and follow not the religion of truth until they pay the tribute readily, being brought low. That's Surah 9:29. And then verse 36, same surah, and wage war on all the idolaters as they are waging war on all of you. So whether you like it or not, they consider that you're waging war on them. And that's, it reflects the idea that you're in the house of war as opposed to the house of Islam. But it continues on in the Quran here. In Surah 9, verse 41, go forth light-armed and heavy-armed and strive with your wealth and your lives in the way of Allah. That is best for you if you but knew. And then, of course, one more here in Surah 9, verse 123. O ye who believe, fight those of the disbelievers who are near to you and let them find harshness in you and know that Allah is with those who keep their duty unto him. That's a few things from the Quran there, and that doesn't even get into the hadiths, that doesn't get into some of these other writings that are out there that are authoritative in Islam. But a fundamentalist Islam is somebody who's going to practice the fundamental truths of his religion, the fundamental teachings of the Quran, and those are some of the fundamental teachings. So they're not radical, they're true to the roots of their faith. The radical ones are the ones that are crying for peace. I would say we would want radical Muslims because we want Muslims who are going to go contrary to the Quran. That's just one of them. Another thing that's going on out there that I've been following is that, of course, that story with the I had the paper here earlier. I'm not sure what happened to it, but it was the woman that was on video, undercover video, discussing the Planned Parenthood selling of body parts, and absolutely just a gruesome sort of a thing. And I would read more about that, but I think we're going to be delayed until I can find out where the paper disappeared off to. Sat down here with it in front of me, and it's completely disappeared. We'll find it, hopefully. But in the meanwhile, we have a caller calling in, and I believe we have Ronnie calling in today. Ronnie, welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
How you doing, Pastor?
Good. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Just ready to hear your show come on Fridays. I miss it sometimes, and when I miss it, I hate it. It's just like an opportunity to get something that you supposed to have gotten, and you missed the chance to get it. That's how I feel when I miss it on Fridays, because I forget it sometimes. And I'm so glad I got you today. I really enjoy your show message.
And well, I appreciate that.
It's a Bible study for me, because it enlightens me with God's word.
Well, and that's what we try to do. We try to help people see that the Bible makes sense, and yet you can sort out the world, you know, looking at the world through the word of God.
Yes, it really helps me a lot. Yeah, the word itself, it helps me a lot.
Thank you.
I got a question for you, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
And my question is concerning suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I had my wife's cousin who committed suicide, and
right.
The question had run around in the family. Will he be able to go to heaven or not?
Well,
and I do know if you're not saved, you're not going to heaven.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. You're absolutely right on that point.
Yes.
And what I usually ask people when a question like this comes up is, when somebody got saved, how many of your sins did God forgive?
Truly, and I know in Scripture it says that God will forgive all sin. Mm-hmm.
All sin, that's exactly right. Suicide is murder. It's murder of self. It's self-murder. And murder is a sin, and it's covered under all sin.
That's true.
As the old, remember the old Lucy show with Desi Arnaz?
Uh-huh.
You might get there early and have some splaining to do. You know, because, you know, when you think about it, your sins are forgiven before you've done them. And some people struggle with that concept, but I always ask people, well, when Jesus died on the cross, how many sins had you committed?
Right.
Every sin that you commit in your life was yet future when Jesus died on the cross. But the way that Jesus could pay for all sin, and suicide is one of those, it's a sin.
Yeah.
And but the way that that Jesus could pay for that in advance, people say, well, you didn't have time to confess it so it can be forgiven. No, you confessed that you were a sinner and you called upon the name of the Lord. You believed that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for your sin. And when you called upon Jesus to save you, as the Bible says, you believe that he forgave you of all sin.
Right.
And you sin because you're a sinner. If suicide kept you from going to heaven because you weren't able to confess it as a sin, And that teaching actually comes out of Catholicism, and a lot of people who go to Protestant churches have kind of imbibed that because, you know, a lot of Protestant theology has derived from Catholicism, or at least it's influenced by it. And it's you know, when you think about it, if you die with unconfessed sin, how many unconfessed sins would it take to keep you from heaven? And if it was the fact that it's unconfessed sin, then when you look at it, if you died and you had told a lie before you died, that's a sin. And if you didn't confess it before you died, then that would be an unconfessed sin. And you would be a sinner, you would be a liar. And in Revelation chapter, well, let me see if I can find that verse real quick here, because this is, it's a good verse because it links lying right with murder, and suicide, of course, is, like I said, a form of murder. It's self-murder. Here in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, it says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters," and here it is, "and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burnt with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So if you think about it, how many people do you have to kill to be a murderer? Well, just one. So how many lies do you have to tell to be a liar? Well, just one. And here's liars linked with murderers, as well as abominable and whoremonger and unbelieving and fearful and sorcerers, idolaters. All these things are all linked together. The truth of the matter is, if you had one sin, no matter how tiny it seems to us, it's not tiny in God's eyes.
Right.
I was explaining to somebody that sin is not like a rope, you know, where you can saw through several strands before you break God's law.
Right.
It's like a chain.
Yeah.
And you only have to break one link on that chain. I remember growing up, my dad would have a chain. He took it on the back of the tractor, as we had a small farm that I grew up on, and he'd link that chain around something to pull it. And one time a chain broke. Well, it didn't take multiple links to fail. It only took one link. One link in the chain.
Right.
And that's all it takes. One sin, and you're guilty. You're a sinner.
That's right.
And you can't go to heaven.
Right.
So if you could die with unconfessed sin, none of us would ever make it to heaven if that would keep you from heaven. But because when you trusted Christ as your Savior, he forgave you of all sin, all the sins that Jesus died for when he died on the cross were yet future. And that's because God's outside of time. He sees the future, and it's just as real to him as the past and the present is to us now.
Right.
And so he was able to do that. So it's a sad thing, and it has a tremendous effect on family and friends that are left behind.
Yes, that's true.
But And those things cannot be undone.
Right.
And certainly some sins, like suicide, murder in general, have a greater effect than telling a little lie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still sin.
Yeah.
And all sinners have their place in the lake of fire, the Bible says so.
Right. Yeah. Right. I appreciate your answer, Pastor.
Well, thank you, Ronnie. I appreciate the call.
I do, and I want you to know I'm listening to you every night, every evening, for sure, when I don't forget on Fridays.
Yeah, they're on Sunday nights, Ron, from 11 to midnight.
I do listen to you Sunday nights if I don't fall asleep.
Well, I try to remind people, our website, livewithpastoral.com, we've got past programs there as I can get to them.
I definitely go to your website. That's when I miss out everything. As it happens as now, but
right.
I definitely go to the website and catch up.
All right. I appreciate that. I encourage people to visit there as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you, sir.
All right. God bless. Have a great weekend.
All right. You too, sir.
Thank you very much. God bless. And you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We've got Mark calling in. Mark, welcome to the program.
Yes. How you doing, Pastor Al?
Good. I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine. I was just listening at your situation and concerning suicide, and then I was also listening at what took place in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Right.
With this ISIS situation that's springing up all over in America,
mm-hmm.
and I was on a little bit of research. You've had these people in this country since 1980.
Oh, actually, before that. But,
right,
yeah.
Actually before that as well. But I've always said you've always had terror cells in this country
mm-hmm.
from other nations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just didn't start. But if you look at Islamic situations, they've been doing a lot of this stuff since the early 80s. And it's very shocking because, I didn't know anything basically about this until you actually start to do the research. When you look at what took place in Chattanooga, Tennessee, with the four Marines that were murdered, and then you look at what took place in Fort Hood
mm-hmm.
out in Texas, whatever.
Right. Oh, yes.
You know, this is, look, this is not just a criminal situation. This is basically terrorism at its
mm-hmm.
worst. And people better realize this because you have an abominable man in the White House right now who I find very detestable, because whatever God hates, that's what I hate. And this is, he wants to downplay a lot of stuff. This is terrorism. People better get ready.
Oh, yeah.
Situations of this nature, because you're going to start to see a lot more of this stuff happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's like what we basically stated before. I remember, being a youngster throughout the 1970s, coming into the 80s, we were talking about what's going on in Lebanon at the time, or Syria, or even the Nation of Israel. It's basically coming here to America.
Right.
America basically has basically signed its own death warrant, because when I look at what the Supreme Court did back on June 26th of 2015 of this year concerning homosexual or sodomite relations where people can do this, I said, you're really trying God's patience. You're really trying his anger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a good thing to fall into the hands of the living God, as the scriptures point out.
That's right.
And it's not a good thing to make God angry.
Yeah, let me interject some history into this too. And before I do that, let me kind of jump off what you just said there. You know, Jesus said in Luke that it would be like as in the days of Noah and as in the days of Lot, when just before he returns.
Exactly.
And the days of Noah, remember, people did that, what does he said? The imagination of men's heart was always evil. And then of course in the days of Lot, what was that famous for? Sodom and Gomorrah and homosexual activity, widespread, rampant, and even tolerated. And, I do think that we're coming under the judgment of God in this country, but
I definitely agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
You're right on point, because the Bible also says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil.
Right. Let me give you a website that you might enjoy researching from.
Okay.
That you can find. And the reason I picked this one is they've got some lists of other websites that you can go to as well. And so it's a good jumping off point. It's jihadwatch.org, and jihad okay. spelled J-H-A-D, or I'm sorry, J-I-H-A-D.
Okay.
At jihadwatch.org. And you'll find some good information there. If you have some trouble with some of that too, our website at livewithpastoral.com, I've got some materials there as well. And we got about 5 minutes in the program.
Okay, but, all right, I'm gonna let you go, but I just okay. wanted to basically, as they say, just throw that out there. Because
yes.
like I said, as a matter of fact, not only is God's judgment upon America, it's upon the entire earth right now, because
yes.
there's so much violence right now. And when we look at what was back in the days of Noah, the earth was overran.
Filled with violence. Yes.
So you can take it from there. I'm going
right.
to listen to the last few minutes of your program.
All right. Appreciate that. And yeah, and again, I wanted to touch on a little historical background there real quick. In 1979, when the Shah of Iran, I believe it was 78-79 time frame when he was toppled, and then we had the hostage crisis, and then, of course, when President Reagan came into the White House, they released the hostages. But what I was getting at is when the Shah was toppled and Ayatollah Khomeini took over and the mullahs took over Iran and made it a fundamentalist Shiite Islamic state, they declared war on the United States of America at that time. And our caller mentioned about the president. And let me just throw this out for thought. In times of war, you try to infiltrate your enemy country, okay? Now think about this. Just think about this. One of the top advisors to our president is Valerie Jarrett, who was raised in Iran. Also, Iran is a Shiite Muslim country. President Obama, who comes from a Muslim family, his father was a Muslim. And in Islam, if your father was a Muslim, that makes you a Muslim. He was raised in Indonesia, going to an Islamic school, or a school where it was a religious school, it wasn't an Islamic school, but he went to the mosque with his father. And his stepfather, who also was a Muslim, and I'm trying to hurry through this, but his family on his father's side are Shiite Muslims. Now, again, in times of war, you would want to infiltrate your country. If you do some historical looking into things, during the 1940s, the Soviet Union, we were embroiled in the Cold War after World War II, but during that time they were still trying to find ways to achieve a communist revolution in this country. And they had infiltrated the White House. At one point, history has shown that the State Department was riddled with communist agents and sympathizers. And even at one point, I forget his name, the vice president under Roosevelt in the 1940s, prior to Truman, the one that was his vice president prior to Truman, the last vice president under Roosevelt, they found out after the Soviet Union fell, Cold War ended and all, we got access to some of the information that the Soviets had, that the vice president was an agent of the Soviet government. If Roosevelt had died like he did when Truman was president, we would have had a president who was a Soviet agent. He was in the pocket of the Soviet Union, our enemies. And again, like I said, Iran's been at war with us. We've not wanted to admit it. But more than that, it's a spiritual battle, and we need not forget that. We shouldn't be discouraged. We should know that we're on the winning side. Jesus Christ has defeated the devil. Islam's a satanic religion. I have no problem saying that. And the devil is trying to oppose the work of Christ, whether it's through Iran and the mullahs and their satanic version of Shiite Islam, or whether it's through Sunni Islam with ISIS. It's their satanic religions. We defeat it through the power and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't give up. Trust Christ as your Savior and allow Him to keep you. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.